It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
That seems to me like government is establishing a religion.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
If you give people rights, women's rights, gay rights, whatever, there can't be equal rights if there's special rights.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
Surveys show that people still really prefer freedom versus force.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Thank you to each and every one of you for listening. You're each treasured, valued. You have purpose. Today, strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. Live with intention. You were made for this moment. And thank you to this great team that I get to work with. That's producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, and the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. And I am thrilled to let you all know that Jen Hewlin is joining the team, Steve.
Oh, wow. Now you had, okay, I'm glad you said it. That was on my mind just recently. I wonder how you knew that, but you had mentioned this a couple of weeks ago that it was a remote possibility, but this is this is going to be, I can't wait to sit back and watch her do her thing.
She is going to be working as our partner sponsorship liaison and helping us grow those relationships and add additional relationships to that. And you know her. I mean, she is truly a courageous, fearless American. And she was the owner of Water's Edge Winery. And after some time and kind of taking a look at a variety of things, they decided to close the winery. And as I drive by there, I think of just all the things, great times that I had with conversations, presentations we made. And they moved to a little freer area than where we are right now. But she is going to be handling that, and I am just so excited.
Two words describe her: motivated and tenacious.
Yes. So, welcome, Jen, to the team. We're glad to have her. Great team that I get to work with. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com. And thank you to all of you who contribute to what we do. And I am getting very close to getting this whole thing caught up on these emails. So don't quit emailing. Just realize that I got a little behind because I was working on this other project, but that is just about done. So be sure and stay in touch as well. And check out America's Veteran Stories. This Sunday is our interview with Battle of the Bulge a World War II veteran, Luke Zobie. And you will not want to miss that. We've already recorded it, and it is a great, great interview, Steve.
It's funny how these things work out. You did this interview with him, and just yesterday, I was thinking around, not necessarily looking for the Battle of the Bulge, but, you know, I guess YouTube has a certain thing that monitors activity, and when it sees a lot of people researching or looking for things related to the Battle of the Bulge, then it starts offering them to you. So I watched about a half hour video on the Battle of the Bulge, and it just ties into, you know, what you guys talked about on this interview.
But isn't it exciting to hear this from the person that was actually there?
Absolutely. I mean, yes, on the video, there was lots of footage of, you know, from 1944. But to hear his description and what he witnessed, what he experienced, is, you know, you can't top that.
You can't top that. And that'll be at 3 p.m. on Sunday. So be sure and check that out. Very important. And this show is this America's Veteran Story Show is just a great honor to get to do this, and also to have it. It's just on my heart to do it. So be sure and check that out. Also on Friday mornings, 9 to 10 a.m., Reggie Carr and Clancy Jones have the I'm a Uniter radio show right here on KLZ 560. And it is so good. I would highly recommend that you all check that out as well. And before we really get into this, I always like to say thank you to my partners throughout the show. And Hooters Restaurants is a sponsor of both the Kim Munson Show and America's Veteran Stories. And they have a great special on burgers right now. You can get any of these specialty burgers and a side of curly fries for $10. And they have the mushroom Swiss burger, a bacon blue burger, a Southwest burger, Western burger, mac and cheese burger, or a Cali burger. And I have to admit, Steve, though, I just like plain old burgers.
You know, it's funny. You know, we have, you know, you and I live fairly close, you know, in the south part of the metro area. Saturday night, coming back from the airport and passing the Hooters in our neighborhood, I was able to look into the window as I'm driving by, but the number of silhouettes in there, the place was just hopping.
I love it. I just love it. And of course, it's in, and that one's in Douglas County as well. This whole mask thing, I have been meeting with friends throughout the, or planning to get together throughout this Advent and Christmas season. And we were going to meet in a jurisdiction that is doing all these mask mandates. And of course, it was because it's in, it's in Arapahoe County is what it is. And so I was going to make reservations. And when I went to the website, it had prevalent, instead of even welcome, it had their whole mask mandate policy. And I'm like, you know, I'm not going there. So I contacted my friends. I said, let's go to Douglas County. So I made reservations in Douglas County.
Well, you know, I don't want to take us off track here. We do that. We chase too many rabbits as it is sometimes. But based on what the governor said over the weekend, aren't these mandates going to kind of just, I mean, that just kicked the stool right out from underneath them?
No, it didn't, Steve. And it's good that you would bring that up. This is what I think is happening. Polis's numbers have gone, his approval numbers have gone under 50%. And he's typically been relatively a pretty popular governor. And he's really excellent in his messaging, because I think they really try to keep their finger on the pulse of what people are saying. And he likes to present himself as a libertarian. He is anything but a libertarian. So he's out there kind of playing to more the freedom, more the libertarian conservative side with these comments. But he's not doing a darn thing with the CDPHE, the Colorado Department of Health and Environment, which is really the ones dictating these mandates. So it's kind of, you know, back behind the curtains, he's saying, you go ahead and keep doing this, but I'll look like I'm hands off. And then that trickles down to Jefferson County Health and Bi-County Health now, not Tri-County. And so they keep that stuff in. So he's able to keep that onerous, tyrannical stuff going on without the appearance of him doing that.
Well, now you just brought up something else. All right, Douglas County opted out of Tri-County, but I saw something unofficially, and it's certainly not to be set in stone yet, that Jefferson is trying to work its way into Tri-County. So I don't know, just sit back and watch and see what's going on there.
Poor Jefferson County. That's terrible.
Yeah, it's so terrible. I picked up on when you said Bi-County, which makes sense, but I think I've seen it twice now in two different places. Jefferson County is trying to weasel their way into, so it'll still be Tri-County.
Now, I just have to wonder, though, because the head of Jeffco Health, and I can't remember the person's name, but that's going to get a little crowded if they try to go into Tri-County, because one of those top tyrannical people is going to have to take a demotion or leave.
Well, I say stay tuned. That's all I can say.
Now, one other thing, Steve, and again, this is just something I was thinking about this morning regarding Polis. I really don't believe that he does anything without totally talking to the movers and shakers on the national level. And many times deals will be made that if a legislator is in what they think is a safe district and they have a terrible decision coming down, then that legislator in the safe district will go ahead and take that terrible position. But if they have somebody that's vulnerable in a district, and this is a really unpopular vote, as they are starting to look at the polls, then they start to maneuver and let that person look a little more moderate. When they get reelected, Katie, bar the door. You're off to the races again with the tyrannical stuff. And so that's why people need to be really informed on who they are voting for. And that's why we do this show, is to help you get your brains around these issues, around these candidates. And so stay tuned on what's happening with Polis. But it's so interesting. The minute he dipped under 50%, oh boy, you know, he's out there on the national news and over on Colorado Public Radio trying to look more moderate. And I was talking to somebody the other day, and they said, well, compared to the other blue governors, he's been pretty more freedom orientated. I'm like, compared to them, you want to compare it towards freedom. And so I guess that's true. He hasn't been as bad as New York or Michigan or some of those other governors. But I just, every day when I get up here in Colorado, I just feel oppression. I feel that just this constant just trying to take our freedoms. And that's why, again, we do this show, is to help you get your brains around this, these issues, so that you can talk with your friends and your family and colleagues about what is going on. And we need to move and reclaim Colorado. We need to reclaim Colorado as that rugged, individualistic Western state that built Colorado. And it's certainly under assault right now, Steve.
Well, if he consulted with his taskmasters back on the, you know, in Washington, before going out there and doing that interview where he said the emergency is over, that's one thing. But if he did not, I'm sure he has some people looking at him wondering what in the world is going on in your head. But I think you've explained it very well. And the illustration of the old Wizard of Oz thing where, yeah, there they stand facing that big face on the wall and all the fire and the smoke. And then Toto pulls back the curtain and there's the real wizard. Mm-hmm. And he's... This is very an excellent illustration of what potentially is going on here.
Well, again, that's just what I am thinking. But stay tuned, because we will find out what is really going on that. So stay tuned on that. We're hoping to talk with Rob Nadelson in segments 2, 3, and 4. He's written some really important pieces that have been published in the Epoch Times about Roe v. Wade. Actually, Biden got slapped down by the courts big time. And we're hoping that's going to happen. We do have challenges with our phone lines, and we're going to have to, I think, get a little louder about getting those things fixed. So we'll know here shortly where we're at with that. But I wanted to talk about the judiciary. And I looked for a Thomas Jefferson quote. Well, I looked for quotes regarding the judiciary. And as I was going through them, Hamilton and Jefferson, they really had different views of how they thought this Republican form of government was formed. I think Hamilton, at least from what I can see, he thought that the Constitution really would constrain out of control government. Thomas Jefferson, I feel, looked into the future and could see with the nature of man where there could be real challenges. Now, here we are, and a lot of what Thomas Jefferson was concerned about in 2021, we've seen with the judiciary. Although with the Trump appointees, we are seeing this pushback on this bigger and bigger judiciary. Hamilton really felt the Constitution would constrain that. But almost from day one, you started to see human beings try to get around the Constitution. So this is what Thomas Jefferson had written in a letter to Charles Hammond in 1821. And Jefferson was an American statesman, diplomat, lawyer, architect, philosopher, and founding father, third president of the United States. And he was the second vice president of the United States and under John Adams. And he was the first secretary of state under George Washington. He was born in 1743. And he died July 4, 1826, 50 years after the Declaration of Independence. And he and John Adams died on the same day. I think that's such a fascinating fact. But bear with me. This is kind of a long one, my friends, but this is what Jefferson said. He said, it has long, however, been my opinion, and I have never shrunk from its expression, that the germ of dissolution of our federal government is in the constitution of the federal judiciary, an irresponsible body, for impeachment is scarcely a scarecrow. Working like gravity by night and by day, gaining a little today and a little tomorrow, and advancing its noiseless step like a thief over the field of jurisdiction until all shall be usurped from the states and the government of all be consolidated into one. And so we are seeing this big thing happening right now here in Colorado regarding that. And so I thought that was just a really important quote, Steve.
It is, and I'm glad you stepped us through it like that.
Yes. So let's go to break. And when we come back, we'll continue with headlines.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And Steve, the first headline that I want to go to, and this is just terrible. I don't know what else to say, but this is from the Washington Examiner, and it says Biden's bill contains a hidden toddler tax, and this is by Jackie Worlorski. And it goes on to say, parents are facing unprecedented challenges to their right to make decisions in their children's lives, and it could get much worse. The Democrats' tax and spend agenda includes a toddler tax that would further usurp power from parents and hand over more control to the federal government through its $400 billion birth to five and pre-K plans. The Democrats' House-passed spending bill promises that taxpayer dollars, well, and they say taxpayer dollars, but also dollars borrowed from the future, will provide access to top-tier child care. Right. In reality, this reckless spending comes with many strings attached. New regulations for child care providers will result in higher costs, fewer providers, and less access to affordable care for working families. I want to just mention that right there. Dr. Jill has always said that when government gets involved in something, the supply becomes limited, the cost goes up, and the quality goes down. And that's exactly what you see here. Higher costs, fewer providers, and less access to affordable care. It says the plan also attacks basic freedoms by prohibiting parents from choosing faith-based providers over government-approved options. It says in the halls of Congress and around the country, Americans of all political persuasions can agree that affordable child care is vital to the nation's economic recovery and future success. However, the current vision of unlimited government spending and provider discrimination won't yield the child care utopia that Democrats are promising. As the Senate takes up consideration of the so-called Build Back Better plan, it's imperative to understand the potentially devastating ramifications of putting Washington bureaucrats, not parents, in control of child care. And this next one, Steve, is just, producer Steve, just is so concerning. It says, behind closed doors, Democrats designed a program that methodically ratchets up federal requirements for child care providers, going beyond already burdensome state regulations. Under the guise of quality, they created new mandates for wages and qualification requirements that will undermine existing providers that American families count on each day. I'm going to stop right there to get your comments on that, producer Steve.
Well, you were earlier, further up in the story, government-approved options. Now, you know, in an article like this, and I'm glad this writer is being so forthcoming, but she can't include every detail possible or her article will turn into like a 50-page
novel.
Novel, mm-hmm. Yes. Government-approved options. Now, what does that mean?
Well, remember, and these are the governments that decided who's essential and who's not essential. So, but I want to continue on then. Says, we know this approach won't work in cities and towns around the country because it's already failed in Washington, D.C., the epicenter of big government. A similar proposal to create forced parity in wages in the District of Columbia was recently rejected after a report issued last month by the Office of the State Superintendent of Education pointed out that it would drive up prices. The district's model, the report found, could create unintended negative consequences to the child care market. This approach could reduce the number of providers participating in the subsidy program, increase child care costs for families not in the subsidy program, and destabilize the labor market for early child care workers across the entire sector. This next thing is just, it really makes me mad. Says, how much is the toddler tax? The left-leaning People's Policy Project estimates that wage requirements associated with new child care entitlement could raise child care costs by $13,000 a year for unsubsidized middle-class families. Now, let's just think about it. We people in America, people, the goal is not to live off the government. The goal is to be responsible for yourself, to be able to provide for your family. And so what you're seeing again is trying through regulations here, push people to become more dependent on the government. And what we know, we talk about sustainability all the time. People want sustainable energy. This is not a sustainable economy. And to raise the cost for these families that are really trying to go after their American ideal, instead of trying to get more people onto the government dole, we need to try to get people off of that, Producer Steve.
It's just another one of many things that are floating around out there that make me wonder what these guys, how they think, what are they really up to? Like, I mean, you just put it out in flowery language, but multiply this out by the thousands, not thousands, but millions of parents, working parents out there, and they see something like this coming down the road, what are they to do? And, you know, for the left, the Democrats, what is their strategy here? We're now 11 months away from the midterms. How much more damage can they do to themselves with stuff like this before, you know, they're just totally wiped out of the picture?
Okay, you have put a question out there, and I'm hoping to find the answer here. And that is maybe you can help me while I'm continuing on with this. But that is, it's either Goebbels or Stalin. You said, give me your children, and within one generation, I will have. See if you can find that, Steve. It's either Goebbels or Goebbels. How do you say that? Is it Goebbels?
With my limited background in the German language, I would say it's Goebbels, because there's an umlaut in there.
Okay, because, let's see, he was the propaganda minister for Hitler. So if you can look, it might have been Stalin that said that. So if you just really quickly, I'm going to continue on, see if you can find that quote, Steve. so I'm going to continue on. It says, wages are just one component of a litany of new federal child care regulations that would increase costs and could push smaller home-based providers out of the market altogether. So here's government taking away choice. Here's government taking away opportunity. When my kids were little, I had a neighbor that was watching kids from time to time, just, you know, just a couple of doors down, and it would, you know, take away that option for people. Terrible, just terrible. It says, inexplicably, the Democrats' bill would also force every parent who needs help paying for child care to pull children out of faith-based and community church child care. The proposal changes long-standing federal policy allowing parents to choose. And why is it that the federal government says where you can send your kids? Anyway, to choose the child care provider that best meets their needs through vouchers, including faith-based providers. Faith-based organizations play an important role in American society. According to a survey by the Bipartisan Policy Center, 53% of working families who use center-based care choose centers and preschools affiliated with religious organizations. It's easy to understand that these trusted providers have strong connections to the needs of families in their communities. And then just jumping on down there, if Democrats succeed in jamming through their radical agenda, these programs could expire in 2027, but the shockwaves of skyrocketing costs, fewer child care choices, and lost opportunities for our kids will remain far longer. So, Steve, any luck in finding that quote?
Patty just texted, it's Lennon.
It's Lennon. Okay, what is it?
Vladimir Lenin. Oh, I haven't got that far yet. I just depending on Patty's input here. I'm looking.
Okay, so it's Lenin's quotes. Okay, very good. So we'll see if we can find that here in just a second. While Steve is looking that up, just wanted to give a shout out to Kanjani Coffee. Great sponsor of the show, Kimberly Bell. It's just a great little coffee shop. It's worth the trip, actually. It's over on the northwest corner of Jordan Road and Lincoln. And they had the fireplace going when I was there the other day. Eggnog lattes, which I always like to treat myself to during the holiday season. And so again, be sure and check out Kanjani Coffee. And Kimberly's going to give us, the next time she's on, she's going to give us the history of the coffee bean. I was in there with my good friend and she was explaining that to us. So be sure and check that out. Producer Steve, what do you have for me?
Okay. Vladimir Lenin is the person we're quoting here. Give me just one generation of youth and I'll transform the whole world.
Okay. And so there you have it. That is actually... what we see is occurring is this radical activist Democrat group of people. They want access to your kids, and that's why standing up for parental. Oh, go ahead.
Well, when we talked about earlier in the writing or the write up here out of the Washington Examiner, government approved options. Can we not think that the early beginnings of brainwashing, that will be a great place for that to start?
Well, absolutely. I mean, we've seen what's happened with what they've done with colleges, and now they want to forcibly take away your options as a parent for your little kids and have the government approved options. And the other thing is their life is getting so expensive. Go over here to inflation, Steve. Government induced inflation. Young families are figuring, how can we make ends meet? And of course, they're concerned about medical care. And so these families are just getting squeezed. I continue to call this agenda that is happening, it's the big squeeze on the American idea and the American people. And it is just terrible what's going on. What's your final thought before we go to break?
Well, I'm thinking of the people who conjure this kind of stuff up and thinking world history, even with just in the last century, would point to events that basically have shown these to be disasters in the making. Why would you think that you're going to do it better?
They don't really think that they're going to do it better. They say the things that they think what people want to hear. But my friends, we must wake up. They are coming after our children. They're coming after our livelihoods. That's one of the positives of the COVID-19 Wuhan, China virus reaction disruption, is it took the veil off on just how far they're willing to go. They actually hurt people. They hurt people through deciding which businesses were essential and non-essential. When I drive up Yosemite in Lone Tree and I look at all the closed businesses, and I know a lot of that is because of local public policy, it absolutely breaks my heart. But we're going to go to break. Before we do that, another great partner of both of the shows is Kirsch Insurance Group. And we had Danielle Green on yesterday with Kirsch Insurance Group. And we're coming into a new time, January 1, I think she said through March 31st, where those of you with Advantage plans, you have a one-time opportunity to make a change. Again, the government says you only get one time and it can only be during this time, but that's the rules right now. But Kirsch Insurance Group is the insurance company to have on your side regarding your Medicare coverage, because they work with a lot of different providers and they can help you come up with the best plan that works for you. So stay tuned. We're going to go to break. We'll continue on with the headlines.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. I greatly appreciate you. And I'm super disappointed because we have had kind of on a regular basis some challenges with our phone lines, and that is occurring again today. And had just really wanted to have Rob Nadelson on, and I'm hoping that we will get him on in the next segment, that they will get those phone lines fixed, because he is an expert on the Constitution. And he's been writing some really important pieces that have been published in the Epoch Times. And Rob Nadelson is a former constitutional law professor and senior fellow in constitutional jurisprudence at the Independence Institute in Denver. And this whole Roe v. Wade discussion has been front and center. And Rob has a piece that, I guess it, let's see, it first appeared May 28th, 2021. The Independence Institute. And then also, I guess it was published in the Epoch Times. And this is super important. This is what Rob said. He said, the Supreme Court has agreed to review the constitutionality of a Mississippi statute banning most abortions after 15 weeks of pregnancy. The court should use this opportunity to liberate America from the long nightmare of nationalized abortion policy. It should overrule Roe v. Wade abortion, or it should overrule Roe v. Wade. Abortion involves profound social and moral issues. This essay, however, focuses on political, judicial, and constitutional issues. He goes on to say, politically, Roe has proven to be the most divisive Supreme Court ruling since Dred Scott versus Sanford, the notorious case that helped provoke the Civil War. Since Roe nationalized abortion policy in 1973, abortion has become fodder for special interests that poison civic life. Roe is a major reason judicial confirmation hearings have become arenas for slander and political assassination. Rob goes on to say that further, Roe's nationalization of abortion diverts federal elections and policymakers from issues the Constitution actually assigns to the federal government, such as foreign and budgetary policy. Judicially, Roe v. Wade was what lawyers called a rogue decision because it violated accepted judicial standards. Courts normally respect precedent, but Roe reversed hundreds of years of Anglo-American law. And courts generally defer to legislatures on policy questions, but Roe effectively voided statutes in all 50 states, and Roe converted Democratic resolution into Supreme Court dictates. It says Roe violated a rule that courts do not adjudicate political questions, those that cannot be answered using judicially discoverable and manageable standards. Before a court decides an issue, that issue must be one the judge's legal training equips him to decide. But Roe and the Supreme Court cases following it force judges to address such questions as, does a state restriction impose an undue burden on abortion? How does a state legislature balance protection of fetal life with, quote unquote, in air quotes, reproductive freedom? Does the value of fetal life increase with the progression of pregnancy? If so, what restrictions are invalid for a woman at 10 weeks become valid at 20 weeks or 30 weeks, and is a regulation appropriate for the city of Houston inappropriate in rural Texas? Producer Steve, Rob is really bringing up very, very important questions on this.
Well, what have we discovered? If you really want to take a particular topic like this one, politicize it and just sit back and watch the disarray and the turmoil that it will create. And it doesn't matter if it's abortion now or now we're going to dabble with climate change. And how many other things have we dealt with? Because once it gets politicized and a party will grab a particular stance on it, look out. See how much division can be created.
Well, I'm thinking about, and I'm kind of looking back at what happened back in 1973, and you had the feminist movement, and I look at this issue of abortion, a couple of things. I'm going to back up just a little bit. Reggie Carr, on his I'm a Uniter show a couple of weeks ago, one of his callers, Johnny, called in and explained that here in Colorado, a lot of people don't realize it, but you can actually abort a baby right up until the moment of birth. And when Reggie heard that, he was absolutely incredulous. So Johnny stated it, and Reggie said, I'm going to have to ask him. And so I called in and said, that is actually true. A lot of people do not realize that. But when I talk about Colorado being at the tip of the spear, it hasn't been just recently. It has really been, it's really been since the 80s and 90s that there has been this movement. And so this late-term abortion, I wonder when that happened in Colorado. I think I'll see when that was passed. But Colorado is one of the few states in the country that is this aggressive on abortion. And it is one of the few places in the world that is this aggressive on abortion. So where did it go from where Bill Clinton said abortion should be very limited and not used very often to we now see that very possibly 60 million babies have been aborted? And so once again, the left clouds what their real activity is. Can you imagine, Steve, if we look back in history and any society that actually allowed 60 million of their children to be killed, wouldn't you look at them and say, what kind of a society is that? But the left has been telling women and men lies about abortion, that it's just tissue, it doesn't matter, the baby can't feel any pain. And we have to have an honest conversation about this. The other thing is, because of the number of abortions that have occurred in America, there are a number of hearts, again, of mothers and fathers that are breaking. And I truly believe that we need to come to this issue with compassion. And during this Advent Christmas season, let people know that all that we've done can be forgiven by our Christ, and also forgiven. We have to forgive ourselves for the things that we do, Steve.
Yeah, I can't push back on, well, I don't choose not to push back on anything except for the ridiculous things that you just touched on, the lies that are told to get in people's heads that make this, you know, an acceptable thing. You know, politicians out there vote buying and keep trying their best to say it's a woman's choice, and it's not really human, and all the baloney things that come out of them when they're on the march, let's say. It's a national calamity. It's a tragedy. There's no other way to describe it.
Well, and feminists have actually told young girls, and again, when we're talking about here, we're looking at preschool, that the government wants to get in government approved different preschools. So what does that mean? So that means they would control curriculum. And we're seeing how that's working out for us. Our kids have been dumbed down compared to other countries throughout the United or throughout the world. But also the curriculum, and I've seen this with a lot of young girls in the leadership programs that they go through, is the feminist movement has really poo-pooed motherhood. And they've made it sound like a baby will keep you from your hopes and your dreams. And so the option would be abortion. And then people find out that's a big lie. But that has been one of the things. Hey, young girls, if you want to, you know, go to the pinnacle of your career, if you want to be really successful, well, children are just going to hold you back, and here is an option. And, of course, Roe v. Wade in 1973, quote-unquote, legalized that. But as Rob goes through this whole piece, I think that I wanted to go through a couple of other things. Before I do that, do you want to comment before we move on?
Well, okay, what was the Supreme Court looking at just a week or two ago? Was it that Mississippi case?
I think it was the Mississippi case, I think.
in the freak show that was going on outside the Supreme Court was this group of, I don't know, about 10 young women. They had a little banner set up, and they made a lot of noise, made sure a lot of cameras were pointed their way, and they took their abortion pill. They were so proud of themselves, and in unison, they all popped a pill. Now, it was probably not a real pill, placebo, but it was done for, you know, the theatrics of it. But I'm thinking, for the people who are taking it for real, do you fully understand what it's doing? You know, we know what the desired outcome is, but what is it doing? What else is it doing to your body?
Well, and let's unpack that just a little bit more. Let's say as a woman may find herself in a situation where, I don't know what the term, unplanned pregnancy, if you will, and goes to a Planned Parenthood where their business is abortion. So here is a woman, she's very vulnerable, she's wondering what she's going to do, and they make it sound like this is the no fault way out, and don't really provide all of the different the consequences, what is going to occur down in the future. And there's something really wrong about that. And then, of course, the other thing that is just really terrible about all this is Planned Parenthood gets so much government money.
Yes.
Abortion providers that get government money. So tax people use government money to then support abortion and, abort generations of children. A society that lets that happen, you have to be really concerned about it. And I've talked to conservatives that have said that I think they still believe in people's choices, but that people have to be responsible for those choices. And I look at all these radical activist Dems that if they really believe so much in abortion, put their money where their mouth is. Let them fund that, but do not have our government fund that, because a society that funds the aborting of their children will not survive. I just don't believe it will.
Well, as you just mentioned, the amount of money, government money, that the abortion industry can pull down, whatever other costs or I hate to use the word, revenues that come in doing the procedures, however that's done. But lastly, and probably the most hideous part of this, is what they're doing with aborted fetal parts and the dollars that are being exchanged there.
I don't even like to think about that, Steve. It's just super, super cruel. Super cruel. So, you know what? Let's go to break. And I still have my fingers crossed that we're going to get these phone lines so that at least Rob Nadelson can weigh in on this important conversation that we're talking about. But another one of our great partners of both the shows is Castlegate Knife and Tool. They're a family-owned business. They're located here in Sedalia, Colorado. And then they have a pop-up store at the Castle Rock Mercantile, which I'd like to try to get down there, because that just sounds like that has Christmas written all over it. But they have knives from the best blade makers from throughout the world. So whether or not you want to get a knife set for a chef or you're a collector or a sportsman, I got a great knife for a sportsman, just a utility knife the other day at Castlegate Knife and Tool. They're the place to do your Christmas shopping. So be sure and check out Castlegate.com. That's Castlegate.com. We'll be right back as we continue on with some of these really important pieces that Rob Nadelson has written and published. Stay tuned.
Life is more than what we have in the bank. Mary Alpers and Steve Kruse with Three Points Financial understand that comprehensive financial planning is an important component for each individual to thrive and prosper. Three Points Financial provides tax, investment, and retirement planning so that you can achieve your financial independence. With so much public policy uncertainty, it is important to have the professionals at Three Points Financial working for you to navigate those uncharted waters. Check out ThreePointsFinancial.com to schedule your initial consultation to achieve your financial freedom. That's ThreePointsFinancial.com.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, KimMunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is kimmunson.com, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there and email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We are an independent voice. We search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through this lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. And I want to continue on with this really important piece that Rob Nadelson has. He initially had it at the Independence Institute, probably Complete Colorado, and then also it was published in the Epoch Times. And I really, Steve, I really had kind of a front row seat here in America as this whole thing was coming down. And we move into the 80s and into the 90s. And I mentioned that Colorado was at the tip of the spear. So I, as many of you may know, I was in the investment business. And then I retired when one of my children was born. And I'd been in the ladies' clothing business for many years. And it was flexible because I had clients. And I represented a designer, and so I would show these clothes via a trunk sale. So I had all kinds of flexibility in raising my children, and probably prepared me for the 14, 15, 16-hour days that we put in with all that we're doing here. But it gave me flexibility, and that is one of the most important things, I think, for moms, is flexibility. And so when we talk about, like, here I'm getting off over into other things, like equal pay. Well, many times, government-forced equal pay, many times moms, women, would like flexibility. So they might give up some pay for flexibility. But here you've got the feminist movement, you've got government coming in, trying to dictate this. And what we see every time government comes in, it takes away options, it increases costs. And it's like, let us live our lives. And I think that people are understanding that. But moving over, conservatives get a bad rap because they say that conservatives want to tell you how to live your life. About the only place that I really see conservatives take a stand is on this abortion issue. And I challenge libertarians on this as well, who just take a hands-off approach on abortion. Because a young woman said to me, since when does, well, you hear the term, my body, my choice. And regarding abortion, since 1973, my gosh, the left has said that's the case. Now we get over to the vaccine. You say, my body, my choice. They go, uh-uh. But a young woman suggested to me, when you talk about my body, my choice, okay, but since when did a human have two heartbeats? And that kind of stopped me in my tracks, Steve. That made me really realize that this isn't really about my body, my choice. And this is more about human life. And gosh, if it's an unwanted pregnancy, look at adoption as an option. That used to be what happened. Remember, there were homes for unwed mothers, have the baby, put the baby up for adoption. And typically that worked out pretty well. And so isn't it interesting with the left how they use language just to push their agenda? Am I getting way off in the weeds on this?
No, you're not, and you're making good and very valid points. But the counter to that, and we've already discussed the one aspect of it, is money. Follow the money. And again, once it becomes political and it's drawn into a particular party's platform, now you've got people out there voting based on what a candidate's thoughts are on this subject. And again, it's a vote buying technique, and they know it.
Well, it is. And to unpack that a little bit more. Again, we look at the numbers, 60 million abortions in the country, and some of those might be women that had multiple abortions. But let's say 60 million. There's a voting block out there that I really think abortion hurts people's hearts. I think that they do. And sometimes when your heart is hurt, then there's guilt and there's shame. And my gosh, we see the radical activist left come into this. So instead of coming at this with compassion, but that was actually their agenda anyway, that was their outcome that they wanted. Instead of coming to this issue with compassion, they go over and they say, hey, those conservatives over there, they're judging you. And that's, there may be some, I mean, we have seen, some of that kind of militant activism on that. But I would really say conservatives love the mother, the father, the baby. I think it's a complete package. But the radical activist left have accomplished what they wanted. They play into this guilt, this shame, this longing, and then they say, those guys are judging you. People don't like to hear that, particularly when they're judging themselves. Vote our way. I think that we need to really understand that this is an issue that needs compassion and forgiveness.
Well, to help make our point, and you're getting the same text message as I am, Patty quickly just supplied us some data. Per Life News, Planned Parenthood got $1.8 billion, that's billion with a B, in taxpayer money in the years 2016 through 2018. So there's, I mean, that's not chump change. You know, people who are in that process, in that that current of money, they want to keep it going, and they're going to do whatever they need to keep it going.
Well, and to that point, instead of taxpayer dollars, how about all these Democrat activists that want to support this? Why don't they use their money for that? But then what would happen is they would lose their political power. And so we have got to get government money out of this business. I wanted to continue on just a little bit more. Again, Rob Nadelson has done such a great job on this, and we will get him on. We'll have to probably do it in January because we're booked out now on the show until after the first of the year. But he said, to understand why the ruling in Roe was absurd, he said, let's start with some background. The Bill of Rights ratified in 1791 included 10 constitutional amendments protecting a long list of personal rights against federal abuse. Among them was the Fifth Amendment's prohibition on the federal government denying a person life, liberty, or property without due process of law. The 14th Amendment, adopted in 1868, contained a shorter list of rights that protected against state abuse, including the rule that states may not deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. The Roe Court ruled that the right to abort was protected by the 14th Amendment's due process clause. Now, let's think about this. How is it, and again, I have challenged some of my libertarian friends where they say, well, it's just the woman's right. But what about protecting the life of the baby? And don't you feel that that is something that we need to do as well? If this is the American idea, that we protect life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and we protect those things, then how is it that they could use the 14th Amendment in their due process clause? Do you want to bite that off, Steve?
Well, I'm trying to keep up with you as I'm reading along here. And I think, well, I wonder if maybe that's where he's going as he's closing this particular article. It's the Christian approach, I guess, is the right thing to say. What you just put out there in terms of defending the life of the baby. So it's a good starting point. It's a great starting point. The creation of life, it's got to be the number one miracle on the face of this earth. And it's not just human life. It's all life. And I just, how we take that for granted, how callous we are to that, that's the part that really scares me.
Well, but I am very, very encouraged, first of all, that this is has made it to the Supreme Court and that states are stepping up on this. And again, I know that there are questions about 15 weeks or when it is, but for sure here in Colorado, where the baby can be aborted right up until the day of birth, it's beyond belief here. I'm just going to quickly, and I would really recommend that you check out, it sounds like you have something you wanted to.
Well, okay, as you just said that, you know, another idea pops into this feeble mind. What has them scared the most? The fact that this is turning back towards states' rights and it really is a state-by-state issue? Or they want this big club called, you know, the Supreme Court, the federal government, to make the issue for them? What's really happening?
Well, even state by state, I guess one of the things, that's a good question. And I had referred to states' rights, and somebody challenged me on that. They said states don't have rights. It's state sovereignty. And again, this is this big push. And the founders like this idea of federalism, where each of the states you know, there was the federal government, and they had certain things that they were supposed to do. They're way out of their lane now, way out of their lane. And then states have sovereignty over all of these other issues. I still challenge states, though, that each state, every jurisdiction has to work to protect life. As I say that, though, you can see how that can get hijacked and how then you can move over and they can say we're protecting life with this forced vaccination. So the web that the radical activists weave is very difficult for freedom. But that's why we have to continue to have these conversations about this issue. I know this is a kind of a really deep discussion that we've had today, but you can see how in protecting life, then the left actually, with this whole vaccine mandate, they've said, oh, we want to protect life, but they haven't been honest about therapeutics. They haven't been honest about natural immunity. They say they want to protect life. So that's why we have to have these conversations, Steve. What's your final thought?
Well, just on the natural immunity, what was the thing we saw just a few weeks ago? The problem with natural immunity is that it's free.
Oh, I guess that's true. And when Patty had, gosh, I can't believe that number, $1.8 billion from 2016 to 2018. I mean, that's big bucks. We've got to get this government back in under control.
But
Steve,
the same thing is happening, though, with the vaccine, though. It's follow the money. That's where the pressure is coming from to keep this thing moving.
Follow the money, but follow the power. That's the two things. And I actually think power is more of an aphrodisiac for the left than money, but they both go hand in hand. So, Steve, we're just about out of time. I wanted to finish up with Thomas Jefferson. Any final thoughts you'd like to share?
No, let's hear what Jefferson has to say.
Okay, and this was a letter that he wrote to Abigail Adams in 1804 regarding the judiciary. He said, "The opinion which gives to the judges the right to decide what laws are constitutional and what not, not only for themselves in their own sphere of action, but for the legislature and the executive also in their spheres, would make the judiciary a despotic branch." Oh, my gosh. So, my friends, today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America.